Thank you, drama crew. That's awesome. And my thanks to the breakfast crew as well. And sorry we're running just a little behind. It's hard to do the griddle and also be ready and to eat too. So
thought you weren't miracles.
What can I say? Well, this is the last of our Dining with Jesus series where we're actually doing a meal. Next week we'll do on Monday, Thursday, which is on Thursday in case some people asked about that. Amanda, thank you. People do ask, was it Monday or Thursday? No, Monday, Thursday. So that will be a reenactment of the Last Supper, Michelangelo's, and our drama crew is working on that. So come and we will serve Holy Communion for that. But this is, I think, one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible. And you hear me say it a lot, but it really is a beautiful story. And Jesus is not only cooking up breakfast, for those who wonder about, gee, did Jesus ever cook? Well, I got the apron on. This is a from Crystal, by the way, that was given to me. So it's a special for me for that. But Jesus is also cooking up forgiveness. And I think that is special. So we are in John chapter 21, verses 1 and following. Afterward, and this is after the resurrection. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got in a boat, but they fished all night, but they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called to them, friends, have you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will have some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Then the third time he said to Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Simon Peter would glorify God. Then Jesus said to him, follow me. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this evening. Well, as I said, this is such a beautiful story. And it's beautiful because so many different reasons. One, obviously you see Jesus, the only time that I know that Jesus is actually cooking. And it's on the beach, and it's an early morning, and I just think it's a beautiful, picturesque moment. But even more than that, it shows the heart of the Lord, and the heart of the Lord following his resurrection, a very up-and-close, personal view of the Lord. And also, the Lord going after Peter, who had failed the Lord, who had betrayed the Lord and denied the Lord. And it's important to go back to, before the story, into Luke chapter 22, verses 31. And this is Jesus predicting Peter's failure. And Jesus says this, he said, Simon, Simon. And again, when someone uses a person's name twice, usually it's a very compassionate way of addressing them. So Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith would not fail. So when you have repented and returned to me again, strengthen your brothers. And I think it's so important, not only that Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him not once, but three times, but Jesus also said something very positive about what would happen after Peter denied him, which was, when you have repented and turned again to me, it will be to strengthen your brothers. In other words, God is going to use this in a positive and profound way. And so Peter, as you know, after the Lord's resurrection, they're all moved deeply, but Peter had to be thinking about how that in front of all the disciples that he had denied the Lord not once, but three times in the shadow of the cross, threat of his own death, of course. So I think any of us would have felt that way, but he had to feel a sense of failure when the Lord needed him most. And so in this moment, Peter goes fishing. He was, after all, a fisherman. But there's also a sense in which a lot of people want to just get away, get back to what they know. You know, if you're a guy, maybe go to your cave or whatever. And so Peter says he's going to go fishing. And his friends do what? They said, we'll go with you. Isn't it great to have friends that will say, we'll go with you? They didn't have the right words. You know, a lot of us sometimes we wish, gee, in the face of someone facing a breakdown or, you know, failure or whatever, you know, what are the right words? Well, I think they did the right thing, which is to just be with Peter. And so they fished all night. And a lot of people love to fish, and some people love to fish all night. These were fishermen. They knew what they were doing, but they caught nothing. But I wonder what the conversation was, what it was like. But I think it was friends more than anything. And I think all of us need to know friends that will be there with us, and to be a friend, to just be with someone when they need it most. And so they go off with Peter. And I think that in this moment, sometimes that people have said that you can let go of the past, but the past won't let go of you. Do you know what I'm talking about? There are things that just hold on to us. And I think that was a struggle for Peter. And then when you think about it too, the boat is a symbol of what? Of the church. You see that everywhere in our stained glass windows. It has been for a long time. Even before the church, when you think about Noah's Ark, the ship has always been a safe refuge and a symbol of the church. And so you have this range of disciples that are out there. And it's interesting because we know who some of them were. And John purposely leaves out the name of two of them, right? And I think that's so we can all feel like, hey, we're in the boat too with Peter. We're in there somewhere. You know, there's Peter, there's James and John, the sons of Zebedee. There's Thomas, who's also known as the twin, also known as the doubter, right? And there's Nathaniel and others. And so we're in the boat and this range of people. And so it's a mix of people. And in the circumstances, they're at least hanging together as friends, as fellowship, fellows in a ship, literally. Okay, so, and then in this moment, all of a sudden they look out and they see a figure on the shore. Now, probably the sun was rising in that direction, so they didn't immediately recognize it was Jesus. It says they were about 100 yards from shore. And we're told that Jesus looks out at the boat and calls out to them, friends, have you any fish, right? And literally that term friends that's used in the Greek, it's pedia, which basically you get pediatrics from, but it's used almost nowhere else in scripture. And literally it's a slang term here. So if you were in Britain, it would be, hey lads, you know, we don't really use that, but I guess it would be dudes, right? Here, so it is a real close term of friends. So Jesus says, hey friends, have you caught any fish? And they say, no. We fished all night and not caught a thing. So not only did Peter fail the Lord in discipleship, but he went back to his profession, the thing that he knew most, and he had to feel like a double failure because he fished all night, didn't catch anything. So they're discouraged, and Jesus calls out, try the other side, right? And doesn't this remind you when Jesus called the disciples, kind of a flashback moment? And so they do exactly that. They throw the net on the other side, and they start hauling, and it's more they can hardly get in. And Peter, in that moment, recognizes the Lord. After all, this is almost a flashback to when Jesus called him, right? When they were fishing from the shore, and Jesus got in the boat and then told him to launch out into the deep. And so in that moment, Peter just dives in the water. That's the kind of person that Peter is. And the rest of the disciples are clamoring to get the boat to shore. And when he gets to shore, there's Jesus with breakfast, right? Not a conversation, just here's some fresh bread on the fire and fish. Now, I know most of us don't think of fish for breakfast, but for fishermen, that's a big thing. I've got a friend, some of you know, Ron Fosnaugh and Pat. They would have fish and toast, you know, no problem for breakfast when they're out in the wilderness fishing. But for these guys, that was a food of comfort for breakfast. So Jesus has got fish cooking over the fire for him. He's got bread there for him. And they eat and they enjoy fellowship. And I think sometimes in our own lives, when we have a failure, a moment where we feel crushed and weak, sometimes it isn't the right words. It's just people that are there, you know, with a cinnamon bun and a cup of coffee or something. And they're just hanging out with us, knowing they're real. Here is Jesus in this moment that he's nourishing the physical as well as the soul. And I think that's so powerful. And then Jesus not only forgives, but Jesus restores in this moment in front of everybody after they had finished eating, you know, and paused and had fellowship. Jesus looks at Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me?" And that had to be, you know, a spotlight, a change of things all of a sudden. And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus said, "Feed my little lambs." And then Jesus looked at Peter again and said, "Simon, Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus again said, "Then feed my sheep." And then Jesus the third time said, "Peter, do you love me more than these, more than the fish, more going back to the old?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said again, "Feed my sheep." And it's interesting because it's as if for every time that Peter failed, Jesus not only was saying his forgiveness, but reaffirming his love for him and reaffirming his ministry, which was so, so important. And he starts in little steps. First, feed my lambs, right? And then it's feed my sheep and then take care of my sheep. And it starts with lambs and then sheep. But those terms, feed and take care of, are terms for pastors and shepherds. And so it's a very, you know, shepherd, pastoral kinds of thing. The image of that is ministry. And from the little ones all the way up to the older sheep. But I think even more importantly, when Jesus says the first two times, "Peter, do you love me?" Jesus is using the term agape, which is that love that is so powerful. You've got philos and eros and agape. Eros more romantic, but philos is more friendship love, and agape is that deep God love that is willing to sacrifice. And so Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you agape love me?" And Peter does not respond with agape. I think he's probably so bowed over from the weight of his failure. Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you, philos, not agape." And Jesus continues and said, "Then feed my little lambs." And then Jesus again says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me, agape love?" And Peter responds again, "Yes, Lord, I love you, philos, love you." And the third time, Jesus lowers the bar for Peter. Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me, philos, love?" As if, you know what, it's okay. If you don't feel like you can reach that far right now in the midst of your failure, I'll come to you. And so Peter says, "You know that I love you, philos, love you." And Jesus again affirms his ministry and says, "Then feed my sheep." And I think that's such a beautiful moment of restoration of Peter in front of the disciples. And then he begins to predict not only that Peter would follow him and minister for him, but then there's this foreshadow that John includes, because John's gospel is the last gospel to written after Peter's martyrdom, that you will one day stretch out your arms, meaning that Peter would die a martyr's death. And even though he didn't want to, no one does, but Peter would be willing to go the distance for the Lord. And people would remember that Peter's sacrifice, and he grew from all this. And so I think that's so powerful. And the other thing that's here that's beautiful in all of this, and this three times to affirm his love and his ministry and his restoration, is that The term charcoal fire that's there in John is only used one other place in John. And that place is where Peter denied the Lord, when they were around the charcoal fire and he was asked three times, was he a disciple of Jesus, and he denied. As if John is highlighting that this is a do-over for Peter, for forgiveness and restoration. So for all of us in our moment of weakness and failure, our sins and shortcomings, Jesus not only paid the price, Jesus comes looking for us like that shepherd looking for a lost sheep that's willing to go high and low, wherever it takes and whatever it takes to find us and to bring us back, to restore us, to love us, forgive us, and to restore our ministry. And like Peter, to say, you know, you failed, but I will use it to strengthen the brothers and the sisters. I will use it as something positive in the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. I want to close with this thought, which is that a story that I love is of Tom Watson Sr., who is the CEO of IBM for decades, a legendary CEO. And Tom Watson Sr. one time gave one of his junior executives who came to him $10 million to do this trial run with something that this young executive was just all for. And in that moment, you know, he said, okay, here's $10 million. It's a lot. Go for it. And the guy lost all the money. And he was so upset because he knew the word got to Tom Watson Sr. And he received a note to come and to meet personally with Tom Watson Sr., the CEO of IBM, who was known to be a pretty tough guy. And so he came in and he had already typed up his resignation letter for Tom Watson. And so as soon as he walked in the office, he laid it on his desk. He said, I know why you're here. I lost the $10 million. And here's my letter of resignation. And Tom Watson said, your resignation? He said, I didn't come to fire you. I just spent $10 million on your education. He said, I can't afford to fire you. And that's so true. You know, sometimes we learn more from our mistakes than we do from our success. And he knew that. Tom Watson Sr. was a brilliant executive, but also a brilliant and legendary leader. And he knew that that young executive had potential, and that failure wasn't something that he wanted to break the company or this young man. And I think in the same way, Jesus uses our failures as well as our successes, and sometimes our failures more than our successes. So today, wherever you are in life, I think all of us have had some moments where we have faltered and fallen short. Know that God has not only paid the price on the cross for that, but Jesus comes looking for us, just like he did Peter. And if we've holed up, or we've gone fishing, or we're on a journey somewhere, that God will come looking for us and calls out to us in a moment of fellowship and restoration in that moment. And this also kind of pictures the communion in some ways, that Jesus is restoring Peter and in front of all the disciples, affirming his ministry. God loves us, God forgives us, God restores us, and God will do whatever it is to see us through. Amen. I invite you to, can I get some help with passing these out? Questions for reflection you can take home. Food for thought, if you will. Where are you spiritually and emotionally hungry today or in this season of life? Where do you feel you have failed or fallen short? Where do you need to hear Jesus' reassurance of forgiveness? Where do you need to hear Jesus' words of restoration? Where do you need to hear Jesus' words of reassurance for your life, purpose, and mission? And where do you need to trust Jesus for the future? I invite you to join me in the litany of prayer that's printed in the bulletin. And then we'll have the news team come back before we sing Amazing Grace. Lord, we thank you that you have come in Christ to share life with us.
Help us to open our hearts and lives to your grace and mercy.
Thank you that you have shared times of weakness and heartache with us.
Lord, we thank you for your presence in the times of hurt and pain.
Lord, we thank you that you have shared times of joy and celebration with us.
Lord, help us to invite you into our times of joy and celebration.
Lord, thank you that you have even shared times of fasting and feasting with us.
Lord, we invite you into our home, our table, and into our lives.
Lord, we give you our past failures, sins, and shortcomings.
Grant us your forgiveness and grace.
Grant us your forgiveness and grace. Let us find peace in your presence.
Lord, help us accept your forgiveness, grace, and restoration.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And put a new and right spirit within me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And sustain me in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.